ready, I'm ready to get in the game. Well then it's time to pause and play.
Hello everybody, this is Father Luke Rawicki.
And this is Deacon Andrew Torrey. Oh my gosh, first time saying that.
Nice little ring to it, right folks? And this is Pause and Play. It's been a while since our last episode. It was the beginning of the summer, and now we're at the beginning of fall. And so we're going with the seasons as the seasons turn. Pause and Play churns out episodes. You don't know that song? I think it's
No.
Simon and Garfunkel. I'm probably wrong, but anyways, okay. One of those people. So we are churning out this episode. We want to hear about Deacon Andrew, because the last episode you weren't Deacon Andrew, and now you are. I've got some questions for you. But folks, it was just last weekend that and my parents were there witnessing this amazing,
that was so cool,
ontological, eternal transformation that happened. And so I guess, Brother Andrew, it was 14 years for you to get to that point, right? To get from being a candidate, you know, beginning your time as a legionary, to now being a deacon. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, did it live up to every expectation you had and more?
The ordination. Did the ordination live up to every expectation?
Yes.
Man. Well, my expectation was to be more united to Jesus. That's what I really wanted. I really wanted to, I was on this retreat right before the ordination. I went on a 3-day silent retreat just by myself, just praying over the ordination mass and entrusting my life to Jesus, to Mary, to Joseph. And I just really desired to be more united to Jesus and to offer my life to the Father and to depend on the intercession of Mary, the intercession of Saint Joseph. And I just, the retreat went by really fast. I just treasured those moments with them. And the ordination ceremony itself, I mean, you always think, wow, this is the moment. This is like, everything is, you know, whoa.
It's finally
super
happening.
Intense. It's finally happening. So I was kind of, I was actually a little tense during the ceremony because I was worried about things, what was going to go on, but I was aware of the gravitas, right? Of the moment.
The importance.
And I, right, exactly. So I was, I wasn't nervous. I was calm. Yeah. I was just a little tense because I knew it was a really important ceremony. I didn't like break down in tears or anything. I didn't have this divine consolation wrap my soul into a sensible experience. That didn't happen to me. And I was reflecting afterwards, like, come on, why didn't that happen to me? You know, that would have been so cool, you know, and just break down in tears and the tears of joy. Like, why, God, didn't you allow that to happen? And I was reflecting in my, praying about it in my prayer. And I was like, I don't live off of sensible experience. I live off of faith in the one who gave his life for me. That's what I live off of. And God has touched my soul and in particular moments in my life in a sensible way. And I still live off of those. But that wasn't the most, the more important thing was that as I united to Jesus during the ceremony, I came from the people. I was sitting with the people at the first half of the ceremony. And then I moved up after I was unofficially a candidate, after the bishop accepted me as a candidate for ordination, moved up a row, and then I eventually made my way onto the altar after the ordination prayer.
Just that point, Deacon Andrew, is beautiful. The symbolism that, like, that is showing that there's something different about you now. And we can get into this maybe later, probably not, but like, just, you know, just like this whole, like, the synod on synodality and the discussions that are at hand about women becoming deacons, women becoming priests. I think Bishop Barron had a really good reflection just of, like, let's dialogue and let's open and let's be discerning. But ordination is not like, okay, now you're better than everyone else. It's like you move to the other side of the altar and now you're looking at all those people and be like, see you later. Yeah. Like we're superior. It's
right.
It's not a symbolism right. that we're superior. It's a symbolism, as Bishop Barron says and the church says, that now you are called to what? Like, what does that Greek word translate to? Deacon. Diakonos. What does that translate?
Yeah, diakonos means servant.
Servant means, people. It's like you were just ordained to now serve all those people that you just left behind in the pews. You didn't leave them behind. Now you're like Christ getting down on his hands and knees to wash their feet.
Yeah, and exactly.
That symbolism is powerful. So let's discern that if, you know, women are called to be deacons. I think it's pretty clear the church has already spoken on that. But I think more than anything,
they certainly are called to be servants, right? Maybe that Absolutely. Sounds really bad. That sounds, oh, he's all chauvinistic. Women gotta be servant, you know? No, not that. But like that is an honor. It's an honor to serve others, right?
Yes.
And yeah, it's that we're called. All of us are called in a way to be deacons. Maybe not. Women know that it's not about putting on, you know, that certain vestments at mass and going up and standing in front of people. It's not about that. It's about, that's a secondary thing that we do to show, okay, this person has gone through formation. God has called this person. And, you know, but they're at the service of the community. And it's just not about climbing the ladder. That's not what it's about at all. It's about imitating Jesus. And when the bishop in during the homily, actually, he's my cousin, my dad's first cousin. He said, like, you know, you're not here because you're qualified. And then in the words that I gave after at the end of the ordination mass, I was like, you know, folks, you know, he's right. Like, I'm not here. Like, why am I here? Like, I'm certainly not here because of any qualifications. I'm here because I was called.
Yes.
That's it. Yes. That's it.
Absolutely. And the role of women and the role of lay people in general is going to be talked about a big time. I think that's going to be one of the main issues that they're talking about in Rome. So the synod, if you all don't know, is like, it's starting, I think, next week. There's a retreat right now. It's starting next week, but then there's a whole nother meeting next year in October. And yeah. More than like coming out with doctrine and conclusions and things that are going to change the way we believe in Christ and the church, is not that. It's much more about learning from this process of dialogue and listening to everybody, making sure that every group in the church, especially those that have not felt this so far, feel listened to. And I think one of those themes, because I just, like, you're watching, I'm watching different videos on YouTube about like what's happening. Uh-huh. And there's like,
yeah.
It seems like people want to stir up controversy, but I love the, just the approach that I think seems most balanced, which is no, like we're all learning how to listen, and yeah, we're open. If the Holy Spirit, while you're listening to others, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak, of course he always does, when two or more are gathered in, you know, Christ's name, God right. is there. So he's going right. to speak. But more than anything, it's like not tuning other people out that maybe have different opinions. And I think that's something the church is offering to the entire world right now in our polarized world. But getting back to you and like you being this servant and you having this role, what would you say, what are you most excited about now as you have this basically a year? No, I mean a little less, right? Like 10 months? I haven't calculated it. But you'll be ordained a priest when?
Seven months.
So when are you ordained a priest? And where are you going to be ordained a priest? I know, but to tell everyone. And then, but what are you most excited about for these next 7 months prior to being ordained a priest?
I am excited about growing in my configuration to Jesus the servant, Jesus the deacon. I am very insistent with myself and in my spiritual life that, and I don't, it's always a work in progress, right? But I really want my mentality to be, not that it is right now, but I want it to be that I am a servant, right? That my time belongs to other people. My spouse is the church. I'm going to become a spouse of the church through my priestly ordination. And so I want to take care of my woman with all of the care and attention that she deserves, right?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And lay my life down for her, right? Which means, practically speaking, going to bed exhausted at the end of the day. That's what it's about. And so I really want to be focused on, so I said, you know, in my ordination, I didn't like break down, you know, through in a consolation, but I had two moments in my life where I felt God, I don't know how to describe it. I felt like this, I was in prayer. I felt like this, it wasn't like a zapping, but it was like this quick pulse of energy, and I felt like a phrase associated with it. I didn't hear any voices, but I felt like, whoa, that's from God. And the first time was this 5 years ago, I felt God tell me, I am with you. Wow. That was the most intense, intense moment.
Like powerful. Yes.
Sensible moment of prayer that I've ever had. I felt him say that to me. I was going through a tough moment. I was kind of questioning my vocation.
How long ago was this?
It was 2018. Gotcha. I was feeling kind of dark inside. It might have been some depression. It might have been like a depression thing. I don't know. But I felt like I was kind of doubting the future. I just felt like I was in a dark place.
Hmm.
And I not super dark, but I just felt like, oh man, you know. And he just encouraged me. I'm with you. I am with you. And I just loved it because it was really brief and it was powerful and it was what I needed to hear. And actually 15 minutes or an hour after that, somebody was preaching and focused his preaching around those words. He says, you know, what does God tell us? I am with you. You know,
I was just going to say that, like, so, that's very evangelical. That's straight from the gospel.
Right. And so to have that confirmed by somebody preaching an hour after I felt that, who obviously didn't know what I experienced, was just very poetic.
Yes.
God's causality. And the second time I heard God speak to me, it didn't seem to be as powerful as his first time, but it definitely felt like it was from him. He said, give me your heart. Give me your heart. So both of these phrases are sort of words of God, kind of like from scripture, that I find that are meant for me, and from which I continually draw an endless source of depth and Christ-centeredness. And so this second phrase, really sort of involving the affections of the heart, that's what I really want to go deep in my diaconate. I really want to this is like a lifetime thing. Like, I just want to center my life more and more on Christ, because I know that's where I'm going to be happy. Maybe it sounds kind of selfish, but, like, you know, he's going to give me the grace and the energy to serve, to be filled with his joy, to persevere when the clouds get dark again, when I go through a crisis. You know, if I'm rooted on the, like he says, you know, if the house is built on the rock, like, it's going to withstand the winds and the waves. So I really want to go, and the humility of the deacon as well. I think it's so beautiful that there's this period where I'm not a priest yet. I'm serving in an auxiliary role, but it's not meant to be like a lesser role. It's meant to highlight that Jesus is the servant. And so yes. Jesus is not in the first place, right? Jesus is in the second place or in the last place. And so, and I'll finish with this. So during my retreat, Ratzinger had a series of homilies on the diaconate ordinations, that he would give during diaconate ordinations. And this line really struck with me about the deacon, that the deacon has the privilege and the joy of making Jesus the deacon present in the life of the church. So wow. I'm called to make Jesus the deacon, Jesus the servant, present. That's what a deacon does. So,
Ratzinger does it again.
He does it again. That's right.
That just reminded me too, like, Charles de Foucauld's whole, like, spirituality of looking, like, trying to find Jesus in the lowest place possible. Like, this guy who had been, I think it was a soldier, then kind of like a nobleman in society, he just kept lowering himself, felt called to be, you know, ordained a priest, then felt called to be a monk, but then he felt called to just go live among, I think, the Muslims who did not like Catholics. And so he was just, like, lowering himself, living in, like, I think, like, a tent or something among them, among the people, just constantly trying to be like, no, I think I could go lower than the place that I'm in now. And that was because he saw that in Christ, like, who is God, becomes man, becomes a servant or slave, dies for us, and even death on a cross. And so, like, that's beautiful that you're starting off your diaconate with that same very Christ-like, you know, attitude, perspective on things. The question is, when you're made bishop or pope, like which of those two phrases are you going to choose for your shield? Because you probably, I don't think you can have two phrases. You just have to have one, kind of like.
Well, I'm going to change like, ecclesiastical law and I'm going to have like, I'll just have like three top, or four, four shields. Yeah.
I was thinking
multiple shields. Yeah. Okay. At this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's a good thing to already be thinking about.
You know. You know.
You've been like, I have a few deacon, like 5 days, and now you're already.
I have a few mottos picked out, but you know, I'm not gonna. Oh wait, is this gonna go public? I shouldn't have said that.
Oh well, I could try to edit that out. No guarantees.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right, we'll edit. We'll take that. Okay.
But so Deacon Andrew, almost called your brother. Deacon Andrew, what is your mission coming up? Like, where are you being sent on behalf of the Legionaries of Christ and the Mother Church? And where are you going to?
So I'm being sent to the most beloved country in the Catholic Church right now, the amazing country of Deutschland, of Germany.
Yes, they are so excited you're coming. I've already heard.
I'm so excited. And I was being a little sarcastic. You know, obviously everybody knows the negative stuff that comes out of Germany these days. But there's so much good. I was there for a week and I saw a lot of good. I've been telling people have been asking me, oh, you're going to Germany. Oh man, that's tough. You know, the synodality and all that stuff and in Germany and the bishops and I was trying to explain that I think everybody knows the good is so much quieter than the bad, right? The bad news always makes the headlines, but there's a lot of good going on too. And I can't wait when I get to Germany and spend more. I mean, I was there for briefly this summer, but then I came here for the candidacy and then my ordination. But when I get back, I can't wait to continue to see the good things that are happening. My plan is just to go there and serve and support my community, support the local church, and just pray to the Holy Spirit. And, yeah, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, I know. So you and I were both in D.C. for 1 year. And then those previous 2 years, I was there with another brother. Shout out to Father Domingo Fuentes-Lita. But we were always very privileged and spoiled to have amazing missionaries. These guys that would, you know, between high school and college, take a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Support us in our mission. And just speaking of all the amazing good things about Germany, besides just the beer, but everyone knows about that too. But they also, like, they always had, like, every time we always had two Americans and one time we had a Canadian. And then a German, or a Polish German, you know who you are.
Exactly.
But, like I always appreciate.
He just got married, by the way.
And yes, shout out to Benio Chastain.
And then another missionary is getting married this Saturday. We're gonna be there at the wedding. And he's
he's a particularly important one because it was his podcast, as you know.
That's right.
That got us starting our podcast. So that's Christian Rabelais Crab.
Shout out to C-Rab.
A lot of shout outs. But just to finish that thought, the German missionaries were always incredibly like special, just their work ethic, their generosity. I loved working with them. And they all had these different talents. For some reason, they were all like really good at like Photoshop. I'm not sure if that's part of their
like, Photoshop.
I started that in kindergarten, but maybe. But they are just, you can tell the Catholic Church is very alive there. There are young people and old people that are on fire for their faith and they're living it out with joy. And what is specifically is your role? Because we always get these, you know, a kind of a more specific role and not just you're sent to Germany, good luck. How long are you going to be there? And like, I guess too, like what is your role? And then what do you think is going to be the greatest, maybe joy and the greatest challenge right off the bat? Cause you're going to get to know it a little bit looking ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greatest challenge for sure is going to be learning German because I don't speak German.
small detail, people. Yeah, like let's pray for me, Andrew.
That's right.
Oh man.
So God did give me a talent for foreign languages, and I like it. I like learning them. So that makes it easier to learn it.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely gonna have to be patient with myself in the first several months. You know. That's good, humility, and so that's a good thing. That's going to be the biggest challenge. The linguistic challenges are going to be compensated by the beautiful community to which I was assigned. My superior is my former spiritual director in Rome. His name is Father Clemens. He's always biking all over Europe.
Oh, tell him I say hi. He was my spiritual director too.
He's a wonderful yes, man of God. He's a great smile, very joyful, very prayerful. I feel really blessed. And three other great apostles in the community, Father Klaus, Father Ignacio from Spain, and then Father Rafael.
Father Ignacio,
So I have a very good community, and I was assigned to work in the what we call the Apostle House, or Apostle House. And
what is
so
that?
This place, it's a Redeem Christi Apostolic Launch Pad. That's what it is.
Ooh.
So if you remember the photo Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh, right? So Europe right now is undergoing a lot of sort of, well, that's The Scream by Edvard Grieg. So Father just did this image of The Scream picture. Those of you who are listening.
That has stars in it too, all right? Okay, no, go ahead. Yeah.
I think it's during the day. Anyways, okay.
Maybe so.
I tell people the Apostle House is what we are is kind of like Starry Night. So because what the medieval monasteries did for Europe way back when was like Starry Night. Europe had its darkness, but there were a lot of centers of light, right? There were some centers of light. This place is kind of like that as well today in Europe, because the number of people in the faith are reduced. And so these communities, like Ratzinger famously said, 50 years ago, these communities are going to become smaller, but they're going to become more creative, and they're going to be more purified, right?
Fervent.
That's exactly what is happening right now. Ratzinger hit it on the head. And so this community, this one community of which I'm a part, and I'm sure there are many others in Germany that I'll discover from other orders, other dioceses, whatever. This one community, its purpose, the Apostle House, is to form apostles, is to wake people up to their baptismal call, to bring them for masses, for spiritual direction, to create a sense of community, what we all do in Redeem Christi, right? Community, formation, faith, and then what are we going to do? Let's go out and do something. Let's change the world little by little. And so that's what this place is about. And it's growing. It's been around for 4 years about. They're just about to, this Sunday, right now I'm speaking on October 3rd. This Sunday, they're going to consecrate a new chapel that they're in the process of building.
Oh, okay.
So it's growing.
You and might be the first deacon to serve there in that new chapel.
I might be. Yeah, I'll have to tell them not to have any deacons for the next 2 weeks. So my role in... Because I'm just starting out and I don't have any experience, I've been given sort of like a tutti frutti type of role. So my official title is an auxiliary member of the pastoral team.
Oh my goodness. You can't do it without those auxiliary members.
Who knows what that means, but
pastoral team would implode without that auxiliary member. Collapse.
Exactly. So my role is just to go there and to do whatever I need to do, to listen, to do spiritual direction, to wash dishes, to welcome people. To serve at mass.
How do you say good luck in German?
Oh, I don't know. Good is guten or gut. Luck is.
So we have a priest that just arrived to my house here in Durham and into our Raleigh Durham community of Legionaries, and I'll have to ask him, Father Andrew Labuddy, another shout out.
Oh yeah.
He was in Germany for 10 years. I think it was at least 10 years, and so I'll have to ask him how you say good luck or something to that effect. I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's gonna be an adventure.
That'd be cool.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. For sure.
Are you gonna be living next to anyone? Do you know anyone? Obviously, besides the legionaries, maybe the people you met that week. Are there any like missionaries or connections there? The people you already know, families you would have met, like in that area of Dusseldorf.
So I'm living in Dusseldorf, which is next to Cologne. I know a couple of people.
Okay.
But not very many. No. I mean, I'm going to get to know people. I'm excited. I'm going to make new friends.
It's an adventure.
Yeah. It's going to be good. And I can't wait. There are several people that I know in Germany, but they're kind of far away. Benio, one of our missionaries, he lives in the south. But Germany's not too big, so I can get in a car and just, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to meeting new people and get my feet wet. So it's going to be good.
Germany, here he comes, Deacon Andrew Torrey.
Woo!
And so I guess now, like, maybe I have one more question for you.
Yeah, finish it up.
It's on the heart of all of our listeners. And you, I know it. I hear you guys out there. You want to ask this question? Okay, well, here it comes. What are you most excited about as you prepare now? Obviously, not forgetting your diaconate, but as you prepare to be a priest. Like, what What excites you most about that grade of holy orders? What do you call that? Like the rung on the ladder of holy orders. 3 is diaconate, 2 priesthood.
No.
As you approach that.
One diaconate, 2 priesthood, 3 bishop. I actually have a photo of that. So this weekend.
I thought it was. I always thought it was counterintuitive. Like I would have thought it was 1, 2, 3.
No, the third degree is of holy orders is the episcopate.
Oh no, so, that's what it was exactly. I would think number one would be exactly.
I need to send you this picture. So at the end of mass, the first mass, you know, in quotation marks that I served at, or you know, the first mass that I did as a deacon. At the end of it, the bishop, Bishop Bob, was there. And then my brother Nathan, who was a priest, and then I was deacon. And so at the end of the mass, we all got together in a photo, and we put up our fingers. And so Bishop Bob had 3.
Oh, okay.
Brother Nathan had 2, and then I had 1. And so it was like a mini lesson on Vatican II.
Yes, there you go. Okay.
It was a lot of fun. So, but to your question, what am I most excited about? What I think I really want is just to be more intimately united to Jesus. And I think that I'm just imagining celebrating Mass and being united to him and telling him that I love him and just being blown away by his humility, that he would descend into my, you know, hands during Holy Mass, or that he would forgive somebody else's sins through my words. And just to be the privileged witness of Jesus acting in so many people's souls. I think that's just, that's what I'm excited about. I've never felt in a rush to get there. So even if my diaconate were extended, you know, like another year or whatever, I mean, I feel like I'm ready. I feel like I don't feel like when it comes, it's going to come and I can't wait, you know?
Yeah.
So this desire, I think it's so important for us we have these goals that we walk towards, but the most important thing, we already have it now. We already have it now. Not even my priestly ordination is going to is more important than me being intimately united to God.
Yes. Right?
Like that is the treasure that all of us have as baptized. Right. And of course, next year when I'm ordained, like I'll have so much more food for thought, you know, to bring to my prayer. Like, wow, you've constituted me a priest. Wow. You know, and how much I felt since I've been ordained, I felt a greater horror of sin. Actually, I felt like, how could I ever sin? You know, how could I do that? You know? So I don't know how that's going to affect me. But I just hope that it deepens my bond with him, so that I can reflect him to others. You know,
Look forward to that. When you're hearing confession and you're able to, like, the Holy Spirit through you is able to, like, console that person, and then you have the guarantee. You're able to offer them the guarantee of that amazing sacrament. Your sins are forgiven. Like you see it over and over and over again. The joy and the peace that washes over them, and like, Lord, that's you. That's not me. And so like. How could you not experience that bond? Like you're saying, like you desire that greater bond. You can't not experience that in the Mass when you're saying his exact words and what happens when he says the words happens when you say those words, because he is in you, is like, how could you not experience that bond? And then also feel the weight of that responsibility. Like you said, like that sorrow for your sins that maybe has increased, like that horror you said, I think, again, like how could you not feel that when you realize like this is a crazy, insane, amazing call, like invitation that none of us are worthy of, like you said, that your uncle cousin bishop said, right? That like you're not worthy yet, you're like God called you. And so that's a common theme throughout Old Testament and New Testament, that we're not worthy of that. And yet Christ calls. And so he's the one that's glorified in everything that we do. If we do any good in this, you know, while we're here in this earth.
Yeah.
Praise be Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Last comment. So the first reading that I picked for my diaconate ordination without realizing it. So the first reading was is the call of Jeremiah, you know, from my mother's womb. I can't remember how it goes.
Before I formed you in my womb, I knew you.
In the womb. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So good.
And so there's a part where he says, you know, do not be afraid of what they'll do to you, for I am with you, right? And then I picked that reading just because I thought it was so intimate and beautiful, you know, this call. But I didn't pick it because of the words, I am with you. But then during my retreat, I remembered that, whoa, that's actually when God spoke to me in my prayer. He said, I am with you. And then I picked a psalm. The psalm that I picked was Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
I picked it because I found beautiful music to it. It's a beautiful psalm. I was like, okay, we'll do this one. But then there's a line in the psalm that says, you know, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So it's like responding to the first reading, God speaking to me. And I didn't realize it until I got to the retreat. So I was like, wow, that's really beautiful that you just weave those. Isn't that cool how just God just weaves those things together without, like, how is that possible? You know, I didn't, you know, it's just, so my consolation going forward is that he is with me and he is sustaining me and he's going to do whatever he wants to do as long as I just step back.
Yes. And like, he's not going to run out of creativity. It's not like, okay, that was the last, you know, arrow in his quiver. Like, okay, to get you. Like, every day we can all experience that if we just pause and play, people. Like, if you just take a moment, pause, do your little examine prayer, do your 5 minutes before you go to bed of like, okay, where did I see a God moment in my life today? You're going to notice you did it again, Lord. And like,
yes.
Did I respond? Did I say yes or did I not? And what consequences were there? And how am I going to respond better tomorrow? But our Lord is never like at a loss for, okay, now what can I do to show my love? Nope, he's got endless, boundless, unconditional, infinite ways that he's going to continue doing that. All right.
And he just weaves together so many beautiful things. I have to mention these two other things because they just occurred to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh no. Don't apologize.
Last two details. So
it just gets better, people.
It just gets better. So my one of my fellow legionary brothers, Deacon Abraham Oh.
Oh yeah.
From South Korea. Oh yeah, yeah. he and I professed our first vows together in Dublin. In 2011, so that was 12 years ago.
And he's from
ago.
Korea, which, like, crazy connections anyways, but go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. He's from Korea, and so he got assigned to Atlanta this year. So he's in Atlanta right now. And he drove down along with two other priests, and they were at the ordination, and he vested me with my deacon vestments in the dalmatic. And so he and I kneeled down together at a church in Dublin, Ireland, 12 years ago, and consecrated our lives to God for the first time. There were eight of us. Now he and I are the only ones that made it to the end. Everybody discerned out, you know. And so to have him vest me was just a beautiful detail that God was a consolation for me to, you know. And then the second thing, I really love Saint Therese of Lisieux, right? We just celebrated her feast on October 1st. And I, a year ago on her feast day, I picked her feast day to write my letter to requesting diaconate ordination. So October 1st last year. And this year, October 1st was the day that I gave my first homily on her feast day. Right. And it just, you know, it was just beautiful how it worked out. You know, that my ordination date and the first homily date just worked out. But even better, and this is truly the last thing that I'll say. There she is, folks. If you're watching the video, she's right.
Watching over you, Deacon Andrew, from my room here.
Even the better, this last detail before I hand it over to you to close it off, Father. So usually a saint's feast day is the day that he or she dies, right? They enter heaven. Jesus welcomes them into heaven. Saint Therese, her feast day, October 1st, that's not the case. She didn't die on October 1st. She died on September 30th,
no,
which was the day that I was ordained a deacon. And so it's so cool that I had this great saint present to me the day I was ordained and the day I gave my first homily. And there were also roses present at the Mass because I gave my mom a bouquet of red roses at the end of the Mass, and I gave Mary a vase of white roses at the very end. So just all of these, I said that, you know, there weren't, like, God didn't, like, shake my soul with tears, but he definitely weaved together so many different beautiful things that I didn't plan consciously, you know. And to see that unfold quietly and silently, maybe that's even the more beautiful symbolism.
I was thinking, like, a defibrillator. So, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Clear.
Yeah.
Like, wake up, maybe, I'm right here. But yeah.
Maybe he doesn't use those defibrillator moments very often.
Yeah.
Because his preferred method is to weave details together. And that really is a consolation.
Love that. With that, people, we just want to remind you, like, take time to get to know this master weaver that is weaving amazing threads throughout your entire life. He's been doing it from before, when you were in the womb. Before you were in the womb, he knew you. He's going to continue that every day. We just want to encourage you, Deacon Andrew and I, to pause
and play.
God bless you.
If you want to get in the game, but life is too fast-paced, try this today. Pause and play. Let's go.